For those of you who keep track of sermon titles, today's is Simply Math, and it comes from the passage in James. The text I'd like for us to consider today is from that 13th verse of James' epistle, the third chapter. Who is wise and understanding among you, show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. Last night, as I was driving back from Chicago, I had gone up on Friday evening to have dinner with my wife and then to do a hospital call to check on Gary Stevens in the morning and then be arm candy for my wife at a wedding in Chicago. I don't know why you laugh about me being arm candy. I was driving back in the darkness of the night and got home about 11 o'clock or so, and I was following my GPS from the Homewood Flossmoor area of the south side of the Chicagoland, and I began to ponder the GPS, and I wondered what kind of little person lives inside my cell phone to be able to give me directions home. And then I began to think about the astronauts who first landed on the moon and how in my little cell phone I have more computer power than all the people did at NASA when they landed successfully on the moon and came back home. We live in an amazing and wonderful world, one that is changing more rapidly every day and every year. And I began to think about my GPS. I happen to be using Waze, but you could use Google Maps or you could use any number of other apps to help you find your way home when you're trying to get from one place to another. And I began to wonder about the algorithms which make these maps work wonders. An algorithm is a finite number of steps that you oftentimes has frequent repetition in order to find the solution to a problem. It is a way in which you can solve a problem through simple math. Now, many of us do not think that math was simple. As a matter of fact, geometry got the best of me, and something may have gotten the best of you. The Epistle of James is often seen as a counterweight or a counterbalance to Paul's emphasis on faith, because James, you may recall earlier, wrote, "Faith without works is dead." And the Apostle Paul said that faith is the most important thing that we can have in our lives. Although he doesn't say it this way, James did not see himself as a counterbalance against Paul's statement of faith, but rather he saw Paul's teachings and his own teachings as a type of algorithm to give us wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? You see, in James's mathematics, his spiritual mathematics, his theological mathematics, faith plus works equals wisdom. The two are inseparable. Jesus once said that his disciples need to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. By that he meant that we need to know the way in which the world works, because that is where God has placed us. But we do not need to adapt the world's principles to our own lives and to our life together. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, the Apostle Paul wrote. Do not take the ways of the world as the ways of God. For the wisdom of the world is seen as foolishness in the eyes of God. Now, I don't know how many of you have either have read books by Simon Sinek or have seen any of his YouTube videos or even listened to his podcast. But in a recent podcast, Simon Sinek made the observation that many of our standardized business models today are leftovers from the 90s, or from the 80s and the 90s, when the world was filled with peace and prosperity. You may recall that the Great Berlin Wall fell that separated East from West. Germany underwent unification, and it looked like the end of history, as one writer said. And the principles, the business principles of the 80s and 90s became so normal that we don't even think it's a problem anymore. He goes on to say that the concept of shareholder supremacy, where we prioritize the needs of external constituency over the needs of our people, is like a coach trying to build a strong team by prioritizing the needs of the fans over the players. He says that this is an unbalanced culture in which we find ourselves. So putting numbers aside to take care of and to protect people from bad economies has gone by the wayside. Many investment banks have literally created environments where employees are addicted to perform to make the numbers, and they waste time and money and destroy relationships, stab people in the back, break laws in order to get their bonus, because that is their only sense of achievement. But he said that is not the wise way to proceed. This is no longer a time of relative peace and prosperity. There are added complications of globalization and the internet, and what worked 20 or 30 years ago no longer works today. He said that people like me are out there banging the drum, but I'm looking for a courageous leader who is willing to change the way that they are leading their businesses and prioritize people over numbers. It will take 15 to 20 years to put that into effect. But the irony is, if it is good for business, it is also good for shareholders. Capitalism is supposed to work in that you take care of people and people take care of business. But when you prioritize numbers over business, they will not take care of the business. They will take care of themselves. The ways of the world says that we meet budgets and expenses by cutting down on overhead and people. And we are not aware of the fact that by taking care of people, that we are actually promoting the business interest and the prosperity of all. Several years ago, a tornado hit Parsons Company in our own community, in our own area. And you may remember that they made national news by not laying off any of their workers, but by keeping them on employment and by helping rebuild the company. Today, they are more prosperous than what they were before the great tornado hit, partly because they rebuilt, but also partly because of the loyalty and the passion of their employees. By taking care of people, they were also able to take care of business. And it would be nearly impossible to hire someone away from that business model. The wisdom that we are called to embody is to see the importance of individuals and people, is to not see people as objects or things, but rather to see them as a child of God. We are called upon to take care of the least, the last, and the lost of all of God's children, because by taking care of them, we take care of ourselves. As I said in the preface to our prayer of confession, no one is an island exclusive unto themselves, but each is a part of the main. If one clod is washed away from the main, the island is the lesser. The wisdom that Jesus calls us to have, that James calls us to have, is to take care of those who are around us. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave hope to those who are hopeless. He did not see this world as a division between us and them, insider and outsider, but he saw everyone as a child of God. And he called his disciples to follow in his example, because by following in his example, we find a new way of life, a way of life that shows us what real truth is, what real truth is about, and what life really is, that life is meant to be lived to its fullest with those with whom we share this world. The challenge to us today as a congregation at First Federated Church and as individuals is to adapt a wisdom that is beyond the worldly wisdom that we find ourselves enmeshed in. We no longer need to have divisions, but rather we need to seek reconciliation with one another, with those from whom we are, from those from whom we are estranged. Faith and works go hand to hand. Show me your works, and I will show you your faith, James said in an earlier epistle. Together, faith and works equals wisdom, the algorithm upon which the kingdom of God is built. So may God give us wise hearts, understanding minds, and eyes to see where God is leading us to be. God called us to be a light to the nation. Let our light shine brightly. To the glory of God. Amen.